Very good. Thank you. If, generally speaking, I understand you to mean, generally speaking, the word perfect refers to the completeness of the gospel in accomplishing what we need for salvation. But in Matthew 5:48, when Jesus said that if you do good to those who do evil to you, then you'll be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is that a different meaning of the word? In time past, I've explained that to mean you'll be consistent, just as God is consistent or impartial. God sends blessings to the just and the unjust. Maybe you can help me figure out a better way or the right way to explain that passage.
Well, first of all, the New King James is right. I don't know that I'm going to have a better way. But the New King James is right. This is a future tense application. So if we behave in perhaps the ways that Matthew 5, verses 43, if we only go back that far, 43 through 47 behave, he says, you shall be. And what that future tense means, I told David, help me out, David. But what does that mean? In the future, as a future thing, we will be perfect. It's not a present tense thing. This is a future tense idea. That's what I would comment on that. In general, we have a past tense perfection that I believe was accomplished at the death of Jesus. We have a present tense kind of perfection process that's going on while we try to live as Christians. Why this one? It sounds like it could be, the old King James said, be perfect. It sounds like it could be a present tense, but it's not. It's a future tense. And the New King James is right saying, you shall be perfect. Maybe this is, if you do this, then this, that kind of thing. But I'm going to stick with some definitions that we have. Finished, complete, perfect, mature, those kind of definitions.
So where does it fit in this picture for someone who puts their hand to the plow and then looks back? There are points in time when Christians fall away, and passages, it's, you know, they're like the sow that was washed. So do we become complete? And do we always stay complete by virtue of our obedience to the gospel? And then is there a sense in which we become incomplete if we fall away? Or because if we say, well, we're complete once we are obedient, then once saved, always saved. And so please help me with that.
Well, this is what I believe, and I'm not saying I have everything figured out about this. That past tense moment of perfection, because many of the past tense perfection verses are the aorist tense, and so it presents a singular event back there in which we were completed. And so when we rise out of the waters of baptism, I believe we are complete before Christ. Nothing is lacking. We don't have to rise up out of the waters and go to church, although I believe we need to go to church. We don't have to rise up out of the waters and do good deeds. We don't have to rise up out of the waters and save our brother. When we rise up out of the water, we're complete in Christ. We're finished. We then have to go on and live kind of the perfect life. There's a present tense aspect to this. I thought you were going to bring in Hebrews 10:26. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. I think that means another sacrifice. If we get back into sin, you know, I always think about that rich young ruler guy. And I think like this. He's been living as best he can under the Old Testament. He's been doing everything right. Still, there's a hole and an emptiness in his life. And he knows it. So Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, if you want that hole to be filled, if you want to be complete, follow me. Now, when he turns his back against following Jesus, that hole's still there. And when people turn their back on Jesus, when they stop following Jesus, when Christians turn that hole, I think, kind of returns. And there's an emptiness in their lives, and they're not complete. They can go back to Jesus. The problem with the Hebrews is if they fell away, they're likely not to go back to Jesus. They're looking for another Messiah. Isn't that what's happening right now? They're still looking for a Messiah. And that hole's never going to be filled. But they could turn back to Jesus in repentance. And so I believe that God, once He's done all He intends to do to bring about our salvation, He sent Jesus. He displayed His love and grace and mercy in the sending of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. It is finished. The work of redemption and reconciliation is finished. There won't be more work. You're going to have to turn back to Jesus to again find that completeness in your life. That's what I would say. What do you want to say?
Randy Tidmore, Alan Bosbeck.
Roger, I have the idea that there's something to do with fullness in the word for complete and all, in teleos. But my dad had an explanation for this, and I just, with your tenses and all, if you think he was onto something there, I'm not sure, you know. But he would say, you know, because some of this has to do with the maturity of the Christian. And he used an illustration like a doctor might say about a baby, that a baby is perfect. But the baby can't talk, he can't walk, he can't even feed himself. But he's perfect for a baby. 13 years from now, if he's still in that condition, you're not going to look at him as perfect anymore. He's going to be expected a little bit differently in this process of perfection. But in Christ, being fully and complete in Christ, that's one thing. But there is a difference, because in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about Christians, that Paul couldn't talk to them the way that he would like to, but he, as of full age, that they weren't ready for it. So there was a time that they ought to be teachers, and a time when my dad used to say too, ought not to be teachers. So my question is, does any of this have to do with the process of maturing as Christians? Is that included in it in some way with the different tenses maybe? I don't know. Just a thought, see what you...
I think that's a pretty good example. I think the word mature, we read two of those scriptures that use the word mature in the New King James Version. So there's a process about maturing there. And we're in that process. However, if we're talking about salvation, not growth, there's one verse we read, and I don't even know where it is, says perfected, past tense, being in the process of sanctification. And there's a whole thing there, but we're still in that process of maturing. However, our salvation was complete for us as a baby. And there was nothing to add to that. We're not more saved at some later place as we grow. If we're talking about salvation, it's complete when we come up out of the waters of baptism.
We're right there at Todd Richardson, and then
let me say one more thing. Now, the word fullness, I looked this up just the other day because I thought this is strange. But in James chapter 1, verse 4, he says, let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete. Oh no, we got two words that mean the same thing. They're similar, but they don't mean exactly the same thing. Perfect is the complete, and complete really means fill or fulfill. So that almost, you know, that word complete there, that second word in James chapter 1 verse 4 means more to fill up and to fulfill.
Appreciate it. Very good. Quick question. I was thinking about when Paul addresses the church at Philippi, and he's sort of bragging on them at the beginning there, and it's the letter of love, you know, and I thank God upon my every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Wondering if that's along the same. That's for Philippians 1:6. He who has begun the good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. My question is that word there complete? Do you think that's has something to do with, we're looking at that in the context of this scripture, with what you're talking about? Are we talking about the same thing there? In other words, first off, the perfecter for all of us that would be perfected is the Lord Christ. He's the perfecter. He does the perfecting. So my question is, Paul's saying you can be confident, you can rest assured that he's begun this good work in you, and he will perfect it or he will complete it. Am I reading that right? Is that a good fit there in your thought there?
What version are you reading?
New King James.
Okay, I'm reading that too, and it says complete. And one of the holes in my study, to be honest here, is I looked every word, these words, teleos, artios, in all their forms, and akrobos, looked up all their forms. I didn't look up the words that might otherwise, other words that might be translated complete, but are never translated perfect. And there are words like that. I don't think this is one of the words that I studied. It's not teleos or artios or one of its forms. I don't think so. So there are other words that are translated as complete. And there's probably a reason why this word's not translated as perfect here. A good reason. Because it's probably a word that should have been translated as complete, fill or fulfill or something like that.
Jerry Dickinson?
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking about Genesis 17:1, an Old Testament passage where the Old King James says, God said, walk before me and be perfect. But I was looking at the New King James, which are in the pews, and it says, walk before me and be blameless. And then I thought about the qualifications of an elder, and Mike was helping me with the Greek. And so over here, you know, in the New King James, I think the Old King James says too, the elder, two times it says, must be blameless. And it's not the same word. It doesn't mean complete or full. It means without reproach. And so I don't know what the Hebrew word was back there. But I think there's a point to be made, and I think you've made that point, that we are perfected as we walk in the light, as he is in the light. God told Abraham, walk before me. That's perfect present tense or whatever. And be perfect or be blameless by. And so our sins are washed away. We become complete. We're completely saved from our past sins. But then we have to continue to walk in the light if we want to be perfect or blameless even, irreproachable in the sight of God. An elder doesn't have to be sinless, obviously. And we don't have to be sinless. We can't be. But we have to be perfect. We have to be blameless. And I understand one definition of blameless, or maybe the root of the word is without a handle. And I heard a guy explain that one time. If you have a big pot of beans on the table and it doesn't have a handle, it's hard to pick up. If it's got a handle, it's easy to pick up. And so an elder shouldn't have any handles. There shouldn't be things in his life that people say, hey, you're not qualified to be. And that's true of all of us too. We need to eliminate handles and be blameless. And I'll quit.
Well, no one, and certainly not me, is denying that we shouldn't be struggling and trying our best to live free from sin in our lives. And if we do sin, we deal with that. God has given us a way to deal with that. And it's just that the words that are normally translated perfect are not words that are dealing with that. Except those words that are in the present tense, it's still saying you're in the process of being completed in your life. And we have something to do with that.
Back to Brother Clint.
Now, I guess it's hard to believe anyone would deny that the work of Christ was not sufficient to complete our salvation. But there are systems, theological systems, that basically deny that. The Catholic system that teaches that we've got to have merit from our own good works and from saints, from people who've lived a holy life, essentially teaches that. And one of the verses up there is Colossians 1:28 about the apostles working to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 1:24, Paul says something that can be construed to deny that Jesus finished the job. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, if somebody came to me or to you and they said, what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of the church? If Christ's work made it complete, we don't lack anything because of what Jesus did. What does Paul mean here? Can you help me with this verse and give me your understanding of it at least?
I don't think I can help you. I need to think about it myself. Go ahead, let him talk again.
Yeah, I'll give at least how I've understood it. Hold on just a second here, my electronic Bible here. Okay. He says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God. And as he continues on down all the way through verse 28, it seems to be the way that Paul was filling up what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ was through his preaching. And, you know, this may be wrong, but that's what study is for, to test, you know, ways that we have tried to explain the passage. How I thought about this passage before was, you know, when Jesus was here on earth and he was doing the work, working out the gospel, there is one thing that he said he did not complete while he was on earth, even through his crucifixion, and that was the revelation of truth. He said, there are many things I have to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead you into all truth. And the apostles continued that work, and they suffered with Christ in preaching the truth and revealing the truth. So could that be? Is that what was left undone? In that sense, the apostles were fellowshipping with Jesus in his sufferings, his afflictions on behalf of the church by continuing to preach the truth, because preaching and revelation is continually mentioned in this paragraph all the way to verse 28. And that seems to be how they're going to present us perfect in Christ Jesus, is through their preaching. And so it's not Jesus suffering on the cross that was lacking anything in paying for sin, but the preaching, the revelation that Jesus came to do, he did not finish that while he was on earth. There were truths that he didn't get to, and the apostles finished that work for him. What do you think about that one? And maybe someone else has a suggestion on that interpretation.
Well, it sounds pretty good to me. I mean, that's when you get down to the word preach there in verse 28, him we preach. I think that's pretty good.
Alan Bonifay, and then we'll wrap it up.
Roger, I didn't hear most of your talk, but it sounded good what I did hear of it, and the question and answer sounds good. But just to support what Brother Richardson brought up, this word in Philippians 1:6 is epitelese, which is simply an intensified form of teleos. And it's a future indicative active verb. So will complete is the right translation of this. And so I think this supports what you've been saying. This is a future aspect that if you continue to behave as you should, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. If you continue faithful, Christ will ultimately perfect your salvation at the end. So I think that's in keeping with your future aspect that you mentioned on some other passage.
Okay.
It just has the pronoun epi
in front of it. Yeah, there's some of those epi words that, yeah.
Brother, any closing remarks?
No, thank you. I enjoyed the study. And I think I know more now than I did before. And whenever that happens, I'm thankful and grateful for the whole thing.